Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
We've been unable to get access to the kinds of things we need to know.
Susan Rice was the typhoid Mary of the Obama administration.
I don't want to undermine any leverage I may have.
You know, there's like a loyalty purge going on in the last month in the White House.
People just want to make sure that every legitimate vote is counted.
I'm not in favor of mandating mask wearing.
That's the law.
Yeah, that's the law. So you see how that's going there. Joe Biden's still yelling at people. And yesterday, he said, well, that was Cuomo. But Joe Biden's still yelling at people. Yesterday, he said that if you don't get information to him quickly, 200,000 more Americans are going to die before he could take office, assuming he becomes the next president in January. I want you to think about that. So we know the death toll that they are attributing to COVID, is at 250,000 nationwide. I question that number because, you know, if you get hit by a truck and you had COVID, they write it off as a COVID death. I don't know if there have been that many or not, but regardless, that's the number the mainstream media is going with, 250,000. He wants you to believe that. So that's since the first case back in January or February till now. He wants you to believe in the next 90 days or 75 days, there'll be 200,000 more if we don't ignore Donald Trump's complaints about how the election went and just go ahead and turn everything over to Joe Biden. That's what I heard yesterday.
Save the day and cure COVID.
That's the message.
Thank
I got.
Goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wait. Still very irritated about blaming a pandemic on anybody. That idea of that still irritates me. If Joe Biden is going to be our president, fine, we will move on, but stop acting like you could have done better.
Yesterday, he had the audacity to suggest that that there's nothing in stockpile. So it was his administration that failed to stockpile ventilators and all that stuff that we needed to have on hand. The Trump administration had to go back, rally the troops, get companies to manufacture more of these ventilators so they had them. And yesterday, Biden's even suggesting that there's no stockpile. I don't know if that's the message of unity that Joe Biden claims he's going to bring to a presidency. But that's not very unifying as far as I'm concerned. Sounds to me like he's still campaigning. That's odd, isn't it? Considering what's going on around the country. Glad you're with us. Watch us on Facebook this morning. Check us out on radio.com if you've got to get out of the car for some reason or can't listen on your radio. The app is very convenient indeed. Last night, a couple things happened yesterday. Number one, they filed for injunctive relief in Georgia because of the way the recount has been handled. Number two, They filed for a recount in two counties in Wisconsin, two of the biggest counties in Wisconsin, and it's going to cost about $3 million, which the Trump campaign has to pay for. And then in Michigan, so we got Georgia, Wisconsin, and then in Michigan last night, the two members of the board, the canvassing board there, have asked to rescind their votes certifying the election in the Detroit area, Wayne County. Why is this key? Well, it's going to end up in court because the first question was, can you rescind your vote? You voted. Can you now take that vote back after the fact?
And that will go to court? That question will go to court?
That's the question that will initially be challenged in court. Okay. And then if they can successfully rescind their vote, because remember, it's not just like they changed their mind. Their allegation here is that they were intimidated, that their families were, their family was threatened. They've got a guy on tape who, a pretty radical leftist who went on one of their live feeds and basically threatened them if they didn't certify the election. So they claim that under duress, they certified the election, but asked that there be an audit. And now they want to rescind that certification because, you know, I don't know. Let's see. 70% of the wards had problems that were not sorted out before they were asked to certify the election. The reason they were anxious to certify the election is because they were facing a deadline. That deadline's now passed.
The duress and the threat and the intimidation seems less valid than, okay, we have information we didn't have. We did not have all of the pieces to make this decision.
But they did. Their point is, like we did have it, and we did have it, and we voted not to certify. And then after allegations of racism and hatred and all of these things, including threats against their family, that happened immediately over social media and over the Twitter meeting they were on, or the Zoom meeting, they claimed that within the same, they felt such pressure that they caved, and now they are claiming they did that under duress. So we'll see. I don't know how that stands up in court.
What a world we live in. I mean, people just bully the heck out of each other.
The comments made accusations of racism and threatened me and members of my family, were the comments from one of the two members, Mr. Palmer, who asked to have that pulled. I'm sorry. Monica Palmer is a woman, and William Hartman is the man who rescinded their votes from the day earlier. So since it's already been certified, the reason it has to be thrown into court is if it gets thrown out, it apparently those votes have to be removed from the vote totals for the state of Michigan. If they are, President Trump suddenly ends up with like 177,000 vote lead in the state. And of course, obviously a lot of people are concerned about that. So I think it would go to the state legislature at that point.
So I have a question. If all of these, say everything that gets contested goes to court and it turns out that Trump wins the election, what happens if they don't figure that out until like February?
I believe if there's still, if there are still questions by a certain date in January, it has to go to the House of Representatives, I think.
Okay.
That's my belief.
I wasn't sure. I knew that the electoral votes is like the 14th of December, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one deadline, but the lawsuit.
The state would have to try to certify these, but the electors can't vote until the state certifications are valid. If some of those are held up in court and can't be validated, those electors can't go vote for the candidate that supposedly won their state. At that point, it's up in the air. The House of Representatives takes over. And it's one vote per state. And there are, my understanding is there are 38 Republican-controlled states represented in Congress, which would mean that would give the president the advantage there if that's how that happens. So
oh, wow.
We're a long way from that point Okay?
Sure, but I had never really thought that far ahead of how that would work.
Yeah, it's not the 435 members of Congress don't get to vote, because if that happened, the Democrats clearly have a majority.
Yeah.
My understanding is it's a vote from each state. So we'll see. We're a long way from that. The point
is, let's not get there.
Yeah, I don't know if any of these challenges will tie this up long enough to prevent certification. All I'm saying is, in three different states, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin, there was some action yesterday regarding these election results. And then yesterday, Adam Laxalt said there were 15,000 people who voted in Nevada who voted in two states, which would invalidate 15,000 votes in Nevada, potentially. So we'll see. This thing's far from over. Let me get to a quick break here. 314-241-9797.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen, if my husband is listening, don't let me have to be too more specific than that, because we never expected to have another term now. I consider this a gift, and I can't wait to be working with Joe Biden and preparing us for our transition into the future. So I don't want to undermine any leverage I may have, but I made the statement.
What a horrible woman she is.
All the headlines. Breathless yesterday, Nancy Pelosi may have hinted that this is her last term as Speaker. So, and then the other misleading headlines, Nancy Pelosi reelected as Speaker of the House. Well, not exactly. That's not happened yet, because that vote doesn't happen until January 3rd. Within the Democratic caucus, they nominated her, but there are still a couple of House seats that are in question. The Democrats may have a very narrow lead by the time this thing rolls around, which would give people like squad members, Cori Bush and AOC, a little leverage to try to get her out of there. They could threaten to withhold their votes if they didn't get some people voting for the candidate they wanted. Nancy Pelosi is not a shoe-in for the next speakership, by the way. But I would have to say, under the scenario we talked about a minute ago, where this gets thrown into the House, which has happened a couple times, and the House selects the president, I would absolutely jump up and down with joy and probably drink heavily to have to watch Nancy Pelosi's face as she gavels in Donald Trump's reelection. Because that's what would happen if it went to the House.
Could you imagine?
I know.
I mean.
I know.
I just sheer chaos everywhere, too.
My goodness. Let me get to Mike here on line one. Mike, good morning.
I'm going to give you the answer that you all need to know today.
Okay. All right.
Awesome.
What's that?
In 1933, January the 23rd, Congress passed the 20th Amendment. And that's what regulates how they elect a president if the electors do not get enough votes to vote for that particular president. So they meet on January 3rd in block, like you said, Mark. You're correct. It bases on how many states that particular party has. So that's how they vote. So they could vote in anyone they wanted. If they wanted to put President Trump back in, they could do that. But here's something a lot of people don't know, and I didn't know until I looked it up. Do you know who puts the vice president in?
Who, Nancy Pelosi? No.
No. Senate, because it's completely different, because the vice president is the president of the Senate. They vote the vice president. So it's possible, unlikely, but it's possible we could have a Democratic president and we could have a vice president who is a Republican.
Or vice versa, right?
Absolutely. It depends on who's running the Senate. And, of course, at this particular time, the Senate should be run by the Republicans. But that it's really interesting, and they do it on January 3rd.
So who breaks it? So here's a question that probably neither of us can answer. If they vote January 3rd, the election in Georgia is not till January 5th or 8th or something like that. Who would be the tiebreaker if it was a tie vote in the Senate? The current vice president?
Yes, because it makes
Mike
sense.
Mike Pence would get to vote on himself.
Exactly. <isn't that? laughs>
Mike Pence, no, let Kamala
Who are you going to vote for, Mike? Yeah, thank you. Because right now it's a 50-50 tie, mm-hmm. right? Well,
right.
I mean, technically it is, even though Loeffler and Perdue can still vote as Republicans.
Correct, yes. Yeah. But see, the kicker is that it's the date. And the reason why it's January 20th, anything past January 20th, then that's when the Congress comes in, and then they get involved with the election of the president, and the same thing with the Senate and the vice president.
Okay,
so
all right.
January 3rd, they all meet for their own little group.
Thanks, Mike.
I got
to run, buddy.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. That's eye-opening, isn't it? Can't wait to get to Dr.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Obler coming up.
So what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're now going to override. We did it already. That's the law. An orange zone and a red zone. Follow the facts.
I'm still confused.
Well, then you're confused.
I'm confused. And
then I'll tell you what you mean.
Parents are still confused as well. The schools
are they're not confused. You're confused.
No, I think parents are very confused as well.
Read the law, and you won't be confused.
Dr. Randy Tobler joining us. Kind of fun to listen to Governor Cuomo up there chewing out a reporter. Randy, I know a lot of people that are still confused. I don't know whether or not my daughter's got to wear a mask when she's swimming now because of what happened in St. Louis County yesterday.
I'm telling you, this is getting crazy. And unfortunately,
the officials are losing more and more credibility as time goes along because, again, they just refuse to admit what we don't know and refuse to admit the unpredictability and the uncertainties we have. I think if they were honest and if they just came clean and said, look, we're taking our best shot. This is our common sense approach. We're trying to balance. We get it. We're trying to balance liberty with economic security. And can we all agree that when we're in a closed space for some length of time, unless you're the guy doing the speaking, and maybe even if you are, you should probably keep your mask on. You know, let's just be common sense. But it is just gone off the rails with what's going on. It's just crazy.
Well, it is crazy. Nobody knows what to believe. I mean, I enjoyed a fine lunch at Bartolino's South the other day with my friend Chris Arps. You know, we wore masks in. They were still had all the precautions they'd had before. They just chose to stay open in defiance of Sam Page's order because he made that ruling, which seemed pretty arbitrary, with very little evidence that it's that restaurants are the problem. And effectively, the effect of it is to deprive a lot of employees in St. Louis County of their livelihood.
That's right. And I mean, again, what are the spinoff health effects, you know, the direct health effects that happen when, as Donald Trump likes to say, the cure is worse than the disease in that case. If that person ends up out of work, maybe doesn't get follow up for some chronic disease they have or can't afford medicines that they've been paying a copay for. If they, God forbid, get so despondent because they used to be the breadwinner for their family and now they can't and they hurt themselves. Or they hurt someone in their family. It just goes round and round. And those kind of unquantified risks are not ever really mentioned in the equation, again, by the experts. You don't hear them, the so-called experts, the leaders. Yeah. They're not experts. Yeah. And, you know, you played that Cuomo quote. From what I recall and understand, what he talked about the orange zone and we have these protocols in place and, you know, this is nothing new. It wasn't a law. It was an Andrew Cuomo edict, wasn't it? I mean, it was like an executive order.
I thought so. I mean, but
these people are just gathering power. Man, you talk about power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. We are seeing it. The Webster Dictionary definition of that phrase, for sure.
Yep. Authoritarian. There's no doubt about
it. Sir.
Dr. Tober, you told me one of our discussions yesterday was about the fact that there may be some new rapid test that you could take at home to show you whether or not you're COVID positive or not. It's obviously not available yet, but you got some guidance on this yesterday, correct?
Well, it's not only that. It's come out earlier about the rapid antigen test. Any what's called an antigen test, those are the tests that can turn around results rapidly. So that would be the first one that was popularized, you know, earlier in this thing was the so-called toaster from Abbott, where just a nasal, Mark Siegel had one on the Fox News. He actually had one on one of the programs. But the salivary tests that are being developed and coming out, the simple nasal swabs, which can turn around. There's a machine that all the nursing homes are using. The state distributed to nursing homes here in Missouri. And those are called antigen tests. So what those do are they just pick up fragments of the antigen that are there, and they're not nearly as specific or sensitive, meaning there can be more false positives and false negatives. They're just not as accurate as what are called the PCR tests, where they actually are looking for the virus and they replicate it over and over and over and again. That's why it takes a while for that process to occur, and then you finally get a result, you know, a few hours later.
Right.
And so a guidance came out from the FDA that is instructive, and it goes like this. The false positives, which I think is what I'm more concerned about with anything, when you're screening people that aren't symptomatic and you're then declaring them either infected or not, you really want to try to minimize the number of people that are falsely labeled with COVID because that, of course, inflates the numbers. It creates more hysteria. It gives people like Sam Page more ammo in their gun, you know, a larger charge to be shooting. And it turns out that the lower the prevalence in a community, the higher the number of the lower the predictive value. For example, let's say you have a 10% prevalence, a real prevalence, 10% of the people in the community have it. If you have a test that's 98% accurate, so only 2% false positives, that would mean that 80% of the population would be positive of the people you screened. So if you brought in the next 100 people and said, okay, take the antigen test, the quickie test, only 80% would actually be positive. 20% would be false positive. If you take a population that has a 1% prevalence, I mean, somehow some great seer above can tell us, yes, we know it's a 1% prevalence based on good testing, and you take the same sensitivity and specificity rate, only a 2% false positive rate, but you have a very low prevalence of the disease, 70 out of 100 people would be false positive. So you can see that the predictive value of one of these quick tests goes down and down and down as you get a lower prevalence in the community.
Yeah.
So when you're screening populations that have a low prevalence with this rapid test, you're going to have more and more false positives, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
So we have to what they're recommending, and they're true. Let's say Mark Cox, let's say Entercom decides that we're going to screen everyone once a week. And, you know, I don't know what the prevalence is in the building. I think it's pretty low from what I can tell. And all of a sudden, you know, Mark and Tricia come up positive. But you guys are absolutely asymptomatic. Everyone's feeling great. And, you know, they shouldn't send you home before they, or if they do, they should get a confirmatory, super accurate test that has a low false positive rate before they declare you. They should confirm it, is what I'm saying.
Not in corporate America.
So you got to be very careful about how to interpret these things.
Yeah, that's not how that's working. You know what? I want to get your thoughts on this before we run out of time. Speaking of low prevalence occurrences, I'm looking at these vote results in Georgia, in some places in Wisconsin, in Michigan, where the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, the two Republicans on the board, are trying to rescind their approval, their certification of the vote there, because 70% of the wards reported problems that, you know, that weren't answered before they wanted to certify the election. What's your take on these challenges around the country, Randy?
I think they ought to go on as long as they have legs and as long as they have some evidence. And I hope that, again, in the pursuit of honesty and truthfulness and authenticity, which is the conservative brand, that is what will win the day 4 years from now when another election occurs. I guarantee it. But we have to maintain that credibility. So if there is truly evidence of wrongdoing, whether it's negligent, fraudulent, or just an error, needs to be followed to its very end. And every vote, not just whether they matter, whether it's a 100 votes here or there, every vote needs to be accounted for properly. On the other hand, I'm very, very concerned, aren't you, Mark, that there's a lot of silence from the Democrat side. If they really were so confident of this election, instead of attacking the people that are trying to question these things, they'd say, absolutely, it should be an open book. Let's wait and let's defer the electoral process like we decided to mail in ballots. We, on the front end of this election, we changed the protocol. Let's change the certification dates and all of that on the back end because we know we won. If the Democrats did that, it would be the most honorable thing, and it would be the first road to healing. If they want to take the first step on that road, they need to do that. But of course, we know that the Democrats and the left will do anything to get power. The ends always justify the means. So watch that. If you see the Democrats obstructing and obstructing more, watch out, because I think there's more and more truth to be found.
Well, I pointed out earlier from some of Joe Biden's comments the last couple of days.
Yeah,
I didn't hear anything that led me to believe that he wanted unity. It almost sounded like he was still campaigning. And that is an indicator right there that they're a little unsure of what's going to happen in a couple of these states.
Yeah. And you see Schumer, I tweeted Schumer the other day. I mean, he's piling on. The Republicans, he's on beating the drum on the Heroes Act. We need to pass the Heroes Act. Yeah. The Republicans had already come way far past center in compromising with Nancy Pelosi in a relief act. And if they think that unity and healing means just roll over and do things what we say and shut up, they got another thing coming, because they're going to make the resistance look like a pop gun compared to what the conservatives are going to give them in terms of resistance.
I love it.
Randy, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Always. See you then.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate that.
Same to you, bro.
You bet. Dr. Randy Tober. Listen to the Randy Tober Show every Saturday morning here on 971 FM Talk at Randy Tober MD on Twitter. Quick break. We'll get to your calls coming up.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, in the dumbest thing I've ever heard category today, do you two know who James Harden is, the NBA player?
Yeah.
No.
Did you hear what he did yesterday?
That I don't know.
So if you need more proof that Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing, James Harden turned down a $50 million a year contract to play basketball for the Houston Rockets because the owner donated money to Donald Trump's campaign.
Hmm. Wow.
So, obviously, a lot of people
free market
think that's kind of dumb, but I actually admire him for at least not taking the money. If that's what he truly believes, if he is truly that convicted, then he can't be swayed by money. Good for him. Whatever. His loss, good for him.
According to veteran NBA reporter Rick Bucher, I'm assuming I'm pronouncing his name right, B-U-C-H-E-R, the move is political. What I heard is, and we know how much politics and political position had to do with the boycott and protest during the bubble, I'm hearing that Tillman Fertitta, who's the owner of the Rockets, that his strong Republican support and donations is one of the contributing factors to James Harden wanting out of Houston. And lesser players feel the same way. There's a revolt here because this guy supports the current president. So if you're willing to take a pay cut to go play somewhere else, more power to you.
That's your prerogative.
I have a hard time
believing he's going to find an owner that wasn't a Trump supporter. Most of those big business guys are. I mean, might be one, but I think that probably the majority of those owners in some capacity have voted Republican.
Well, because if you've got money and you want to keep it, you should be voting Republican.
Right. And big business owners know that.
Thank you. They should know. They do know that. James Harden, just
good luck.
Take the salary and donate it to BLM, James. That solves your problem. 314-241-9797.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.